For almost half a year, I've been going through the Gospel of John and felt a number of weeks ago that I needed to steer away from that series and go back to the beginnings of the book of Acts. So I feel like God just has something in store for us to do a fresh stirring. And as I read the first two chapters of Acts, and I just had that strong feeling that we need to be there for a number of Sundays. Because God is speaking to us, and He wants to re-equip us and stir us for the work that He has for us. I keep thinking about a particular incident that happened back in 1983, and I know I've shared that story a couple of times with you. But it's the story of John Sculley when he was headed up Pepsi-Cola Company. And PepsiCo is the parent company of Pepsi-Cola and all the other companies they have. And he was asked to become a president of Apple Computer, which at that time was just a no-name little company that was just starting up. He took a big risk leaving Pepsi to come and join this little upstart company called Apple Computer. What made him change? Well, Apple co-founder Steve Jobs goaded him with this question: do you want to spend the rest of your life selling sugared water, or do you want a chance to change the world? That is a question we need to be constantly challenged with. Do I just want to live with sugared water in this world? Or do I really want to be a change agent? Does God have something more in store for me? The answer is yes. What changed the lives of the once timid band of uneducated disciples of Jesus into some bold, life-changing people? It was the arrival and the empowerment of the Holy Spirit of God. Rather than feeling abandoned and orphaned after Jesus left, spending the rest of their lives selling sugar water, they became directly involved in changing the world for Christ. It all happened because Jesus said, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses all the way to the ends of the earth." Someone has said that in the Old Testament, the sin of rejection was the rejection of God. In the New Testament, it was the rejection of Jesus. And in the church age, it's the rejection of the Holy Spirit. We need to be constantly reminded of the privilege that we have to live in the power of the Holy Spirit. When Jesus was with his disciples, he said in John 14:17 that the Holy Spirit dwelt with them, but would soon be in them. We needed that outpouring of the Spirit into our lives, because without the indwelling Holy Spirit, we will fail. Or as D.L. Moody said, "You might as well try to see without eyes, hear without ears, and breathe without lungs, as try to live the Christian life without the Holy Spirit." Because there is no power in my human ability to live the Christian life or to be a change agent for the Lord. We are so dependent upon the Holy Spirit of God. I won't take time to talk about who is the Holy Spirit in terms of, you know, is He God? Is He? I mean, we just assume for now. We know that He is God, who the third person of the Trinity, God the Holy Spirit, that He is a separate person. I'm not going to take all kinds of time to argue about that. We'll just assume that for now. And down the road, I may take some time to talk about that. But I do want to highlight that historically, there have been at least three separate movements that try to do away with the person, the influence of the Holy Spirit. The first major movement was in the early 200s by Sabellus. And he led a group called Sabellianism. And he taught that God was a unity. There's one God, one person. But He would often reveal Himself in different modes. And so Sabellianism can be called modalism, where He might reveal Himself as a Son to some, He might reveal Himself as a Holy Spirit to others, but there's only this one person, but He shows Himself in different modes. So the Sabellianism, this modalism, started to infiltrate the church in the early 200s. And it took a lot of work to fight against that. Then in the early 300s, of course, Arius came along, And he also denied the distinct personality of the Holy Spirit. Then in the 1500s, there was a group called the Socinians, and they were Italian Anabaptists who struggled with this whole concept of the triune God. And they came up with this teaching that the Holy Spirit was just an energy or a force. He wasn't a separate person. He wasn't this personality that you converse with. It was just this force that came from God. It was just His divine energy that flowed in people's lives. Of course, that had to be fought against as well by the established church. What is it that the Holy Spirit wants to do in our hearts and lives? If He is this third person of the Trinity, God the Holy Spirit, who's come to live within me, live within you, to empower us, what is it that He wants us to do? As I was thinking about the impact He had on the Holy Spirit, there's just three thoughts that came to my mind that I want to go before. I want to deal with the practical side of what the Holy Spirit is doing in our lives. When the Holy Spirit first came, there's three things it initially signified to the disciples. And the first was this. When the Holy Spirit came, it was a real lesson to them that God answers prayer. Because Jesus said, I want you to pray for the promise. And Jesus also said, I will pray to the Father that He will send you the Spirit. So here he taught His disciples in John 14 to pray in His name. And He says, I want you to pray in my name because I want to send someone special to you. And so in those 10 days after Jesus rose to heaven, they were praying in Jesus' name for the gift God had promised. And in those 10 days, Jesus is in heaven and He's praying to the Father that the Father will send the Spirit. We have this beautiful picture of the disciples praying, Jesus praying for the Father to send the promise of the Spirit. When the Spirit came the day of Pentecost, He's saying, I want you to note, God answers prayer. When I offer something to you, and I'm just saying, you need to pray for it. When it comes, I'm showing you, prayer works. God answers prayer. Secondly, the Holy Spirit's descent upon the disciples signified to them that the Lord was exalted, He was glorified, He was alive and well, and He was exactly where He said He was going, and He had arrived. Jesus had said, after I depart from here and I go to my Father in heaven, I'll make a request to send you the Holy Spirit. When the Spirit came, it signified what Nansen's pigeon signified to his wife. When Nansen, who was the great explorer who opened up our Arctic north, before he left on his Arctic expedition, he took with him a carrier pigeon. After 2 years in the barren Northland, he wrote a short message to his wife, fastened it under the wing of the pigeon, stepped to the railing of his little ship, and he flung that little pigeon into the air. 3 times it circled. And then, straight as an arrow, flew straight to Norway. And went to the home where that little carrier pigeon had been raised. It went straight to the home of Nansen's wife in Norway, 2,000 miles away. The arrival of the pigeon in the lap of the explorer's wife signified he, as Nansen himself, was alive, he was safe, and all was well. And that's what the arrival of the Holy Spirit meant. He's there. He arrived. He's exactly where He said He was going. And when the Spirit came, it's like, yeah, He's there. We saw Him go up. When the Spirit came, it was to signify, yes, He is exactly where He said He was going, to the right hand of the Father. But also, thirdly, importantly, Jesus has said in John 14, I'm going to send you a comforter, a helper, an encourager. The King James used the word helper in John 14, 16, when Jesus said, I will send you another comforter. The reason Wycliffe first used that word comforter for the Holy Spirit is because it was a word from the Latin. Two Latin words put together. The Latin word cum, cum means together or with, and fortis, which means strength. Cum fortis or comfort means to come together to be strengthened with or strengthened by. And Jesus said, when I will send my Holy Spirit upon you, He will come to your side and He will aid you, He will help you, He will strengthen you for the work I've set you aside to do. Now in Acts chapter 10, and I'm going to make several times I'm going to refer to Acts chapter 10, verse 37 and 38, particularly verse 38. But Acts chapter 10, I want us to read verse 37 and verse 38. Peter here is preaching at Cornelius' house. And in Acts chapter 10, verse 37, we read this. You know what has happened throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how He went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with Him. Notice, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power. Now there's something very important here. The fact that Jesus is referred to as Jesus of Nazareth, that's important. Because what Luke the writer is pointing out, that this is referred to Jesus in His flesh, in His humanity, the one that came from Nazareth. He was empowered by the Holy Spirit. As a human, He was dependent on the Spirit of God to give Him strength, that in His humanity, He could live out the fullness of God and the mandate. And when Jesus did something superhuman, how did He do it? Oh, it's because He was God. Well, let's not be that quick. Yes. But according to Philippians 2, verse 5 to 8, He laid aside much of that glory, and He chose to come in the form of a servant and of humanity, and to walk our walk and in our steps, to be truly human. And being truly human, to do what He needed to do, meant that in His humanity, He needed a special empowerment from above, and it was the Holy Spirit. This Jesus, this Nazareth boy, had to be anointed by the Holy Spirit and power to do what He was called to do. Jesus thought and reasoned and spoke and interacted in relationships the same way we do. What made Him unique in His humanity was that He was filled and anointed with the Holy Spirit of God in all fullness and in all completeness. I've really had time to think this through this week, because I've had to do a little shift in my thinking. It's nice once in a while, as you get a little older. Notice I only said a little, so don't get too excited. Not too many nods of acknowledgement. Okay, just a little older. Is that getting a little older? To continue to have aha moments and actually learn something. People say, oh, 32 years of pastor, man, you got a lot of sermons in your file. You can just pull one out and preach it. I hardly ever. Because I look back at what I preached 10 years ago and I'm thinking, that's all I had? Wow. You see, as you continue to grow, and go on, God just continues to show new things. And this week, God has shown me something. I have yet to fully understand the boundaries in which I'm going to talk about. But I'm going to lay it open. And if at the end of the sermon, you say, you know what? I think you overstated your case. I think you overdid it. Okay. Hey, talk to me. You know where my office is? You know how to call me? Call me. You can disagree. You can agree. But I'm going to share some things with you today that has been a fresh challenge to me about the Holy Spirit. Here's a question I've had to think through this week. If Jesus fulfilled His ministry, performed miracles, healed the sick, cast out demons, preached, taught as He did in all the strength and the power of His divine nature, if He did it out of His divine nature, why did God bother anointing Him with the Holy Spirit? The reason God anointed Him was because in His flesh, in His humanity, as He walked this earth, in the same body, the same human emotions and everything else, He needed a strength from above, just like we do. He needed that anointing because He came to take on humanity and reveal Himself in human form and minister through human form as a human. And that's why, in John chapter 3, verse 34. John 3, verse 34. For the one whom God has sent speaks the words of God, for God gives the Spirit without limit. Without limit. I was thinking about that. And I looked up that word limit. It meant border. There are no borders. There's no boundaries. There's no limits to the way the Spirit of God came upon the one that God had sent. And God poured out His Spirit without limit. He was completely filled and overflowing with the Spirit of God. And out of that anointing under the Holy Spirit, Jesus of Nazareth did what He did. In the Old Testament, God poured out His Spirit in parts, a little bit here, a little bit there. As they built the temple, all these craftsmen needed to be empowered by the Holy Spirit to do the craft that they did. So that they received empowerment by the Holy Spirit. The king would need the Holy Spirit for his work. Prophets to speak would need the Spirit of God. But it was a little bit here, a little bit there. Along came Jesus. Jesus of Nazareth. The one who took on flesh. The one who was as human as you and I. And He received an anointing of the Spirit of God in His flesh. So that by the power of the Holy Spirit, He could do what He did. How thoroughly and completely Jesus as man was immersed by the Spirit of God. Let's do a very quick little history of the role of the Holy Spirit in Jesus' life. Let's start with the book of Luke. I'm going to take just a few verses. But if you want to turn along with me to Luke chapter 1, first of all. And Jesus was very well aware, looking back, His beginnings, how His beginnings all started in His humanity. Luke chapter 1 and verse 35, where the angel is speaking to Mary and says, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, that's upon Mary, and the power of the Most Holy will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. His human conception was worked out by the power, the presence of the Holy Spirit. Now turn to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, verse 40. Luke chapter 2, verse 40. And the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. That is a reference to Isaiah chapter 11. Verse 2. I'm going to quickly turn to it. Isaiah 11, verse 2. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom. Now, this is a prophecy that down the road when the Messiah would come, the Spirit of wisdom would come upon him. The Bible says he began to grow in wisdom as a child. So we know what that was through the Holy Spirit. Then Luke chapter 3, verse 21. and at his baptism. Luke chapter 3, verse 21. When all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And as he was praying, heaven was open and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a voice. And a voice came from heaven saying, "You are my Son, whom I love, with whom I am well pleased." The Spirit of God came upon him. Then Luke chapter 4, verse 1. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the desert where he was to be tempted. His humanity was filled with the Holy Spirit so that he, in his humanity, could be tempted by the devil to see how true he would be to the Lord in his walk and his calling. Then chapter 5, verse 17. Chapter 5, verse 17. One day as he was teaching, Pharisees and teachers of the law who had come from every village of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem were sitting there. And the power of the Lord was present for him to heal the sick. The power was present. He was depending on the power of the Holy Spirit to do this work as he's conversing and healing. Luke chapter 10. Luke 10 verse 21. At that time, Jesus, full of joy through the Holy Spirit, said, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth." And then he tells us why, what he's praising him for. But here's the whole point. Jesus' emotional life was awakened by the Holy Spirit when he worshiped the Father. Full of the Holy Spirit, he said, "I praise you, Lord." Now let me go back to Matthew. Matthew chapter 12. Now Matthew chapter 12, verse 15, on to a few verses. Matthew 12, beginning with verse 15. Aware of this, Jesus withdrew from that place, and many followed him, and he healed all their sick, warning them not to tell who he was. This was to fulfill what was spoken to the prophet Isaiah, "Here is my servant who I am chosen. The one I love, in whom I delight, I will put my Spirit on him, and he will proclaim." And then he goes on to share the message. But here's the point. God said, "Here's my servant." He didn't say, here's your God. He said, "Here's your servant, the one who comes in the flesh. Here's my servant, and I will pour my Spirit upon him in his flesh." So that through his humanity, by the power of the Holy Spirit, he will proclaim to all the nations of the world. Hebrews 9:13-14 talks about the blood that he gave by the eternal Spirit. And here is reference to Jesus coming to be our sacrifice, but it was through the power of the Holy Spirit that he came and laid down his life, his humanity, for our sins. And then I have to go back where we started a little while ago, Acts chapter 10, verse 38. Acts 10, 38. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, this Nazareth boy, with the Holy Spirit and power. And notice at the end of the verse, because God was with him. Why did he go around doing good and healing, according to this verse? Well, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, the Holy Spirit and power, and he went around doing good and healing. Why? Because God was with him. Two things. He was doing good in the flesh. He was kind. He was caring, giving encouragement, touching people, giving words of encouragement, healing, doing all kinds of things. Doing good. And doing the miraculous. Because he had anointing of the Spirit and God was with him. Here's my point. What the Holy Spirit did through Jesus, he can do through me. I've had to wrestle with that one. Because I tend to look at Jesus' life and say, well, that's because he was God. You know, that's, and it gives me an out. I don't have to live that way. I don't have to be as empowered. I don't have to be so, you know, so full of spiritual vigor. I mean, that's, you know, you can't be like Jesus. He was God, no? In His humanity, in His flesh, He was so filled with the Holy Spirit. And what the Holy Spirit did through Jesus, He can do through me, because I too am human. And I can receive the Holy Spirit of God and have that same anointing upon my life. So here's just four thoughts I have. That'll lead me to 3 points of conclusion. This is my first point. Jesus' first words to His disciples included giving the Holy Spirit to them. And this was uppermost in His mind. His first words included giving the words of the Holy Spirit. In John chapter 20, John 20 verse 19 to 21, we read this. Or John chapter 20 and 19, on the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After He said this, He showed them His hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. And again Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." Notice the word "as." As the Father sent, I am sending you. Then He breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." In the same way that Jesus depended upon the Spirit of God to empower Him, we are completely dependent upon Him. And Jesus was passing on to them the very gift He Himself had received from the Father without measure, without boundaries, without limit, so that they could live and minister in the power He Himself had lived and ministered in. And here, Jesus transfers His mission to His followers and gives them the same power that sustained and blessed Him as He walked on this earth and spoke and healed in the power of the Spirit. So, Jesus' first words to disciples included the giving of the Holy Spirit. Secondly, power is synonymous with the Holy Spirit, both in the book of Luke and the book of Acts. I find it interesting that in Luke chapter 24, Luke chapter 24, verse 49, Jesus said to them, "I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." Now notice, He didn't say, "Stay here till you get the Holy Spirit." He said, "Stay here till you get the power." Why? Because the word "power" and the Holy Spirit are synonymous. Stay here and you'll get the power. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of power. Acts 1:8, Jesus said, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you." The same power that filled and energized Jesus, the same power that filled and energized the disciples, is the same power that fills and energizes and anoints you and me as well. I didn't check up on this, but one of the commentators noted that the word "power" is used 10 times for Jesus in the book of Acts, and 8 times it refers to His miraculous miracles. And 10 times the word "power" is used in the book of Acts for Christians. 9 times it is used when Christians did miracles. The other time it is used in this promise, "You shall receive power." Power is synonymous with the Holy Spirit. What does that tell me? God wants to empower us for the miraculous work that Jesus did. And He's given that ministry to you and to me. Thirdly, every follower of Jesus has the anointing power within them. Every follower of Jesus has the anointing power within them. In Luke chapter 4, after Jesus was baptized and tested by the devil, of course, he went back to Nazareth, and after he had experienced his baptism and the receiving of the Spirit, it says in Luke chapter 4, verse 18. And of course, he went back to Nazareth, he took the scroll in the synagogue, and here's what he read. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because He has anointed me. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because He has anointed me. Now remember Acts 10:38. God anointed this Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power. Now let's listen to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21. Now it is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. He anointed us, set His seal of ownership, and put His Spirit on our hearts. That word anointed is in the past tense. Every believer that has received the Spirit, that has been sealed by the Spirit, has been anointed by the Spirit. Everyone has been set aside and be given the task and the empowerment to serve our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Every one of us has received that Spirit of power, the Spirit of anointing. Why don't I have that power? Something more I want to speak on another time. What hinders the Holy Spirit of God from coming through my life? The problem is there are things in our lives that hinder the Holy Spirit of God from having full control. You cannot live a life of sin and live in power. The Bible talks a lot about do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. There are things in my life that hold down the presence of the Spirit, wanting to come forth and empower me. I allow the sin to come in between the Holy Spirit and myself to do what I need to do. It's another whole sermon that's coming up. What is it that's keeping us from not walking in the fullness of the Spirit of God? But every one of us, if we're born again, we have received the Spirit, we've been sealed by the Spirit, we've been anointed by the Spirit. It's all past tense. But there are reasons why we don't experientially live it out. But the Spirit's been given, folks. It's been given. God has poured of His Spirit into our lives. The moment I said yes to Jesus as Savior and Lord. And fourthly, the key to effective Christian living is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Luke 4, first part of verse 1 says, "And Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, went into the desert to be tempted." Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit. That's the very same phrase, word for word, used in Acts 6:3 and on, where the men were told to set aside some men to pay attention to the needs of widows who were being overlooked in the distribution of food. So he said, they were told, look, set aside some men who are full of the Holy Spirit to do that task. And that phrase, full of the Holy Spirit, is word for word the same phrase used of Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit. We cannot deny that the work that was done through Jesus can also be done through us. We cannot deny that. Yes, there are limits because there's that overlap between His humanity and where He was God. But we have to be very careful not to say, oh, well, that's because He was God. Well, hang on. Yes, He was. But He's also a man full of the Holy Spirit, and in His humanity, by the Spirit, He did what He did. The same Spirit that empowered Jesus empowers us. Our expectation of Christian living needs to be expanded. Yes? Look at what God could do through Jesus. But friends, look at what God can do through you. Wow, I'm going to be done early today. Must be a long weekend. I have 3 points in closing. Like I said, there's more coming about the Holy Spirit, what hinders us from living out. But the point I want to come across today is, don't limit yourself. Don't limit yourself. That same power is in us. 3 thoughts in closing. Don't ever think of Jesus' earthly ministry in the same way again. Don't ever think of Jesus' earthly ministry in the same way again. Don't read all that Jesus did and just dismiss it as the glory days of a bygone age when He came here as God. Those were the glory days when in His flesh, by the power of the Holy Spirit, He did the work of God. Don't dismiss Jesus as your role model because after all, He's God and I am not. It's true. He is and I am not. But so much what He did because in His humanity He was filled with the Holy Spirit. Secondly, your achievements will rarely exceed your expectation. Your achievements will rarely exceed your expectations. Let the Spirit of God expand and broaden what you understand and what the Father wants to accomplish in your life. Well, it's just me. Now it's not just me. It's the Holy Spirit of God in me. Look what I can do through the Spirit. Your achievements will rarely exceed your expectations. And lastly, don't back down from, or be intimidated by, or scared of bondage, of problems, of trials, of struggles, of temptation. The same Spirit that worked through Jesus and empowered Him mentally, emotionally, psychologically, physically, in the Spirit. The same Spirit that will do the same thing to your humanity. If I am yielded to the working of the Spirit. In closing, I have an assignment for all of us this week. And that assignment is for me as well. You may say, well, that's a little bit short notice. Okay, we can give ourselves some latitude. But here's the point. Ask God to do just one thing by His Spirit through you that up to now you've been afraid to do. I'll say that again. Ask God to do just one thing through His Spirit that up to now you've been afraid of to do. Because after all, isn't the Holy Spirit a spirit of power? Isn't He a spirit of enablement? Can we trust Him just for one thing to do in the power of the Holy Spirit? Ask God to identify which person He wants you to pray for and to make an attempt to connect with that person in a meaningful way to encourage and hopefully with the intent of sharing Christ with that person. Yes, the fear of man brings a snare. But you and I shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And we shall be. Not could be, might be. We shall be. If the power is there, we shall be witnesses. In Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Let's stand in prayer together. It is always a good thing to be challenged by the word of the Lord. It is the will of God that we step out of our comfort zones, of our little boxes, and open ourselves up and say, "Yes, Lord. Yes. I believe. Through you, I can." Lord, who is it? Who is it that you want us to reach out to in the next couple of weeks? God, be very clear. Put a name in our minds. God, identify that colleague, that neighbor, that friend, that relative. God, identify that person to me. And by faith, I say, Lord, I believe. I believe that the Spirit of God within me wants to break through my life. Spirit of power. God, just breathe through my unwillingness and make me willing. Lord, increase our faith. Lord, come. We pray for that anointing to become a reality in our lives. Lord, come, breathe. Breathe upon us. Give us a free and a willing spirit. We give you our hands and our feet. We give you our lips and our tongue. Lord, that we may be used of you through your power, through your leading, to bring change to people around us, according to your mighty power at work in us. In Christ we pray. Amen.